This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Full Draw Friday, number 76. I'm Canyon Clark. That's your co-host, Austin Stone, on the other side of the screen. We're going to be talking about some buck betting this week, so let's get into it. All right, man. So we're talking public land buck betting on this episode, which... again, last week we talked about we're going to have some more public land stuff with you coming on as a co-host. But before we get into it, don't forget, guys, Full Draw Friday is brought to you by Rack's Big Game Supplements. They got a sale going on right now. Mineral 15 will get you, that's all caps, Mineral 15, to get you 15% off of any amount of 40-pound bags of mineral that you buy. You can also use the code FULLDRAW, that's all caps, and that'll get you 15% off as well on the website. That's racksmineral.com. Go check them out for your mineral and protein block needs. Austin, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How about yourself, man?
Doing all right. Excited to get another one of these recorded. This will be the second one as with the official kind of a new format, I guess. And you're looking awesome this week. Not that you look bad last week, because you never look bad, but the studio looks really good.
Significant upgrade, I will say.
we'll let the people decide how significant, okay? But it's
I was gonna say if you prefer the living room, just throw in a comment and let me know.
We can go
but
back.
I prefer this. So yeah. we can go back if you prefer not seeing my face, you know what I mean?
Yep. They can kind of see the half of that one rack behind you. There's some really nice deer behind you too. The one on the top, they can kind of see it. Yeah, there's some nice deer behind you. So that's
That's my Kansas buck from 22.
He's got a Kansas head on him, that's for sure.
He does, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah. So, public land betting, let's dive right into it here. We're going to start, this is going to be at least a two-part, maybe a three-part series we kind of discussed before we got on. And we're going to start with locating, because obviously to be able to see and figure out what it's telling you and hunt based off of it, you got to find it first. So we're going to start first part of this series on these Full Draw Fridays, public land betting. And really, it could be private land too. I mean, a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about will translate, but we're going to focus on the public part, right? So we're going to talk locating. And I think the best place to start, which is what most people do nowadays, whether it's on X or Google Maps or Google Earth or Hunt Stand or whatever app you like to use for your maps, I think a map is where we should probably start, because that's what I think probably what most people are doing, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know it's where I start, at least if I'm going, you know, out of state and I've got a short trip. I like being prepared. I'm a prepared kind of person. So I like going in blind, but not too blind. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I enjoy picking apart a new property, but I still like to get a general idea about what I'm getting into, you know, between vegetation and terrain and access and just a general feel for the property, you know, looking on a map before I even set foot on the ground. You know, there's a lot can look the same for on the map, and yet a lot can look very different. So it's kind of one of those things where you can get close mapping and then you just got to fine tune it on the ground and see what the vegetation actually looks like.
Yeah, no doubt. That's one thing that I've learned through doing some consultations, because obviously I haven't done a ton of like public land out of state or anything, but also going out west and doing some public land stuff. But mostly on the consultation side, part of what we do, and I know you kind of do the same thing, is before you get on the property, look over the map just like you would if you were scouting it. And then I would say it's a safe number would be 50% of the time it is what we thought it was based on the map. And the other 50% of the time, it's like almost not even close to what it looked like on the map. But it's definitely a good place to start.
I definitely agree. And that's why the hands-on consult is so much more valuable than the virtual.
Yes.
Is that, one, you can't really evaluate what the deer are actually doing. on property, looking on a map.
Nope.
And then two, you just don't know exactly, you know, where are those primary feed trees located? Where are they congregating? How does you're going to find micro terrain features on the ground that you're not going to be able to see on those topo lines. And there's just a lot. And then those subtle edges, the subtle edges where you end up shooting your deer on.
Yes.
Right. So this fella right here, he's not on my channel. He's one of my years past deer. And he was a prime example of a river bottom subtle edge, just a subtle transition in change in vegetation. And that he just a scrape line would work in that edge. And that's where I ended up killing him. So in an area that looked very much the same, there were subtle edges in that area, and I found some converging movement on one of them, and that's where he ended up getting shot.
I know on private ground too, and it could be the same on public if we're talking like clear cuts or something, but I've had a food plot where I've cleared out a half acre, and it's been there for, I think this will be the third year, and it's still not on any map that you can find that's readily available. Yep. So if you're on private ground, maybe your neighbor's put in a great big food plot, and you can't see that on a map yet. Maybe if it's public ground, maybe there's a new clear cut in a spot. And we all know like that could be a pretty good place to be, but it may not be on the map yet. And that makes it even better because then nobody else knows about it if you actually put the boots on the ground. But then there are times where you can see those. Maybe it's some kind of conifer lot, like whether it's, you know, some kind of cedars or pine trees that leads into some hardwoods. Like, okay, there's a very defined edge here. It's probably going to still be the same as it is on that map. And you're going to find, you know, places that when you do put boots on the ground on that property, you're going to be way more efficient. So what's something that you might be looking for? Like, hey, I'm going to flag this. It's going to be one of the first places I look. It's going to be on my list of places to look as potential bedding area.
Yep. I'm looking for something that is different. You know what I mean? It kind of stands out as a possible. Obviously, I'm looking for what the food kind of looks like on property, what it looks like in surrounding areas, and what the terrain feature looks like. So if it's more of a hilly country, I'm going to be looking more for point and bench type bedding, right? Or if it's just flat terrain, I'm going to be looking more for those edges and a change in vegetation. Obviously, me and everybody else love cedar thickets. You know what I mean? Especially if it's not too thick of a cedar thicket, light still has the ability to get in and create an understory of growth, right? And, but really, I'm looking for something that is hard to get to. And I'm not just talking about distance, because everybody nowadays, it used to be where we could walk 2 miles, even a mile, and get away from people. That used to be what we could do. And that's where we found our success. But now it's no longer the walk the furthest and win. We're having to make adjustments on public, and it's getting more difficult. One, there's more people hunting it. And two, there's more information about how to hunt it.
Right.
Which here we are. Right.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
but you know, it's you just look for those maybe overlooked places. That's really where I find my best success, is overlooked places and hard to hunt places. Places where that buck is going to bust you coming in to hunt it. You know what I mean? And then you just have to get creative how to hunt it.
Yeah.
And because a lot of times that's where he's at. He's in a spot that maybe is not all that difficult to access. It's actually pretty decently easy to access, except for the fact that it's very difficult to get in without blowing your hunt.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, so he knows where he can survive. He knows how the wind works. And you're going to find it in places where you have a slight change in wind direction, maybe a little swirl, something that is different, you know, than what's going on maybe in the surrounding area. But I'm going to look primarily on the map for any kind of vegetation change and converging point and, you know, pinch points. And I'm just kind of going to start there. You know what I mean? I'm going to mark those locations. I love the spot bottom side of thick, nasty bet betting because there's always a bench that seems to be right there. And a lot of times there's oaks and there's always trails. So there's and then so I'm going to go through and kind of mark anything like that that's any kind of primary converging point where there's a lot of movement that should be converging in that area. And if I start there and I actually find sign, I can get up, you know, a little bit and actually start to figure out where they're betting and go from there. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to start by just marking these converging points, pinch points, and changes in vegetation, and then go from there.
Yeah. One thing I'll add to that, too, is on those maps, that something that maybe gets overlooked a little bit, or people don't necessarily know what they're looking at when they look at it, is turning on the top of lines on the map, because you're going to see those benches and you're going to see those saddles and stuff like that. That could be for travel corridors. It could also be for bedding, because if you see those real tight lines and then a wide line and then real tight lines again, there's a good chance that's your bench, right? Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just about to throw that in there. That's exactly what you look for too when you're talking about hard to reach spots, is those tight lines.
Exactly.
If that is a steep, nasty hill to get up and down, there's a decent chance that even though it's not very far, guys might not want to get to it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Or if there's a super steep ditch where you're going to have to take that deer out in pieces to get him out.
Right.
And people are going to question your sanity.
Yep.
That's probably where he's at. You know what I mean? So it's not always distance that you find these bedding areas.
Yeah,
it's
and
the tight topo.
You're going to be able to see those points too that you're talking about, and the south facing versus north facing slopes, things like that. And that stuff that you're not necessarily going to be able to see just on the map if you don't turn those lines on, because it just all looks flat on the map. So turn those things on and learn how to read them. Before we get too much farther, guys, don't forget about our partner on the Full Draw Friday. That's Rodney Hawkins. He is a land specialist for Midwest Farm and Land, and he's also got his own thing going called RG Outdoors. At RG Outdoors, he's got Fission e-bikes. He's bringing on another kind of e-bike that I don't remember the name of yet. He's got Tacticam trail cameras. He has Radix blinds, trail cameras, and stands. He's adding stuff all the time, so you can go check out their Facebook page, RG Outdoors, or if you're local here in Southern Illinois, you can run up to Flora and stop by his shop. On the Midwest Farm and Land side, they specialize in recreational properties, so the stuff that we're talking about, if you're looking for a place to go do that, check them out. They might have something for sale. Or if you're looking to upgrade, downgrade, get something sold, you can check them out for that too. Any of that stuff, you can get more information directly from Rodney. You can call him at 618-925-3153. So we've talked about kind of looking at the map, the places that you're going to look for. Now once you put boots on the ground, you're going to look for those spots. You're going to those spots first, right? What are you looking for when you get there?
General, one, I'm looking for what food is right there in the immediate area. Is there any water in the immediate area? I'm not talking, you know, at a distance. I'm talking directly adjacent. You know what I mean? Within that half mile range, I would say within that at best, right? Mm-hmm. Even closer times I've found. And then what does the understory look like? What does that cover and browse situation look like? And if it has all three of those factors, where it has a lot of good cover, good thick cover, good browse, it has mast producing trees, or it's not too far from general ag, and you have good water sources nearby, it depends on what the deer are telling me, right? So either I'm finding a lot of deer poop, a lot of tracks and active movement. Okay, they're there. That's perfect. But if I'm checking off all those three check marks, that it has this spot has everything, there's no reason the deer should not be here, that means there's human presence there every single time. So, and that's the thing. If you slow down, look at it, you check off all the lists. This is a textbook location. There should be a bed right here, and there's not. You start paying attention to the area a little bit more, and eventually you're going to start finding some human presence. And that's great, because, you know, finding where not to hunt is just as important as finding where to hunt.
Yep.
Right. So, and then just move on, check crossed off your list, move on, you know? So if I'm finding a lot of deer poop, especially, that means the deer are very comfortable
Yeah.
in that area, and they're hanging out. They're not just moving through. they are hanging out in that general location. And that is a very good sign for the how the deer feel in that general spot.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of times guys too, I think, will find a bedding area and they think this is the bedding area I need to be in. But a lot of the trouble is deciphering, okay, is this a doe bedding area or is this a buck bedding area? Because we know that it's not going to be the same. 90% of the time, the buck is going to want to bed away from the does because he doesn't want them bothering him. I mean, can you blame him, really? Who wants to be bothered by a bunch of does and fawns all the time? They're going to be generally closer to that food source anyway. But what are some things that you're looking for that are separators between what is potentially just a doe and fawn bedding area, maybe some young bucks, of course, versus where that mature buck is staying?
It's generally a much smaller area. Like, it's a little pocket. It's not a big, giant bedding area. Typically, it's a little pocket, right? And there's always rubs, big, giant rubs, like obvious rubs.
Yes.
And at the same time, not every single time, okay? Because I showed you that those sheds I found last year. And this deer is so tall and narrow.
Well, are they there handy? Are your sheds there handy?
Yeah, right.
Might
here.
As well show the people.
I was gonna say I might as well show them, right?
Yeah.
So this fella, get here back here.
Yep.
Top. That's generally what he's gonna look like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tall and narrow. He's an absolute tank of a deer.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't rub a tree.
Not
he
a
can't
very
get
big
his
one.
Horns around it.
Right.
He can't get his horns around it. So that's something to think about too. Is don't count out any kind of sign, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in general, if I'm finding big signpost rubs, I'm only finding them in little pockets, especially as public land pressure has been being increased. I'm not finding the widespread rubbing that I used to, right? Especially the really big rubs. The really big rubs, I'm only finding them in pockets. And when I find them in those pockets, they're bedding pockets. I'll find beds, there'll be hair in the bed, and I'll know it'll be a bed, and then it'll be one or two locations that look like it's been bed in versus 5 to 10 different spots. You can see that there's three beds, you know, right by each other, and those locations I'm going to just kind of walk by and assume those are doe beds. They're going to be smaller circles. They're going to be multiple circles very close to each other, where this big boy is going to leave a larger oval in the ground, right? And a lot of times there's going to be fewer of them there. You know, he might run with one buck, maybe two, depending on the time of year. But also the kind of thing, I still like to confirm it. And if there's mud at all, I'm going to try to confirm it with tracks.
Yep.
So I'll get it around the bed. I'll try to find tracks in the bed. I'll try to find tracks on a trail that's leading in and out of it and see if I can just at least find some kind of evidence of a big bodied animal. And that's typically what's going to tell me that is a buck bed. And he's always going to have extremely quick, easy escape routes.
Yes.
And 360 degrees. Like he's gone. It doesn't even matter which direction you're coming from. It's easy out for him, no matter where he's going.
Yep. And this is some stuff too that will directly translate to the private stuff. If you're looking for where those bucks are staying on your property, it's going to be, that's how you're going to be able to tell. If you're creating buck bedding on your property, that's a big one to remember, because everybody likes hinge cutting and it's great when it's done right. But a lot of times somebody will get in there and they'll just go crazy cutting stuff and laying stuff every which direction. Well, that's great. It's super thick now, but they got no way to get out. They're not going to stay somewhere where they can't get out of it, because at some point with a predator of any kind coming towards them, they're going to hit a point where they're going to get up and leave. And they have to have somewhere to get up and leave towards. If that person or whatever is coming from one direction, they got to be able to go out the other direction. So that's a big one. Another thing that I was going to hit, if you're doing in-season scouting, whether that's any kind of public or private, this would especially be true because a lot of times you are doing in-season scouting on public, whereas private, you might be trying to stay out of an area. If you happen to stumble into what you think might be a bedding area, and maybe you see a few rubs or whatever, especially if we're talking like third, fourth week of October up into third, fourth week of November, if there's just like this super strong smell of deer, probably not does bedding in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's something that you'll start to learn over time. And the more you're around mature bucks, which for some people is just the more you kill, the more you're going to be around them. I'm fortunate to be able to be around them all the time with the deer shop. But there is a very distinct difference in there. Those old mature bucks just reek. I mean, especially that time of year, they smell so bad. So if you're in a spot and you're like, I think this is potentially a buck bedding area, and there's just this really strong smell of deer, good chance that's a mature buck. Because even the younger bucks don't smell like that. You know, when the rut hits and their hormones are going and they're pissing all over themselves, like that's when it really starts to stink. And you can smell it walking through. I've been tracking deer that I've shot through bedding areas, and you just start to smell deer. I mean, good chance that's what's close by.
Yeah, I mean, and I even had that last year in Missouri. I was walking in the morning, and I just hear something, so I just kind of stop. This is, you know, before light. I was walking in the morning, and I hear a deer traveling the ridge top just above me, right? And I was downwind of him, of where he was, and right as whatever, I know he was a he now, but right as it passed that wind cone, right, I got a whiff. I'm like, it's a buck. Okay, cool. Who knows? Right. You know, if he was going to see it, like he was cruising heavy. You could tell he wasn't just moseying through. He was cruising, so more than likely he was long gone before light. Came about, right? But there's at least something that it's cool. You can smell those animals. There's a few times even you walk up on estrus does. I tell you what, if you smell that, you need to hunt that.
Yes,
right now. I did drop everything.
Yes,
that you have going.
And if you can smell it,
because you can smell it, yeah, exactly, yeah. So. Yeah, no, there's been a lot of times you walk up and you smell that bedding, or you smell that buck, because you get downwind of that bedding, and, you know, at that point, find yourself a good scrape or pinch point on the outskirts of it and hang immediately.
So we're talking about mature bucks. We're talking about hunting mature bucks. One way that you can trick a mature buck is to use some decoys. If you guys are looking for good decoys, you should check out Flambeau Outdoors. They've got some, in my opinion, some of the best ones on the market, especially for the price. Obviously, there are some other great options that are considerably more expensive. So if you're like most people, you can't necessarily get up into that. You've spent enough money on hunting already. If you're looking for a good quality decoy at a very doable price, Flambeau's got some awesome ones. The Boss Buck is my personal favorite. It's the right size for our Midwestern deer. I like their scrapper buck too. I get the idea of it, especially in areas where the bucks aren't as big. And you could have success with it here too, but I like that big-bodied, just old kind of bully buck looking that's going to get those big boys fired up and coming into it. They've got those. Their new bow case is awesome. We used them all fall. They are great for locking the bow down tight. You can leave your quiver on. Those ties are so much better than Velcro. There's so many great features with them. You can check those out as well. They've got gun cases. Their duck decoys are great. You guys go check them out at FlambeauOutdoors.com and let them know that we sent you over there if you decide to buy something. That will really help us out a lot. So let's get kind of just a few more minutes here on this, and then we'll roll into next week will be part two, and we'll kind of get into, okay, we've located this sign now. You know, maybe what's it telling us or what we need to do about that. But let's wrap up with, now we've located it. We've decided it's buck bedding. Are you diving right in there? How much time are you spending in that area once you've figured it out? Like what would be your next immediate step after you've located it? And then that will lead us into part two of this next week.
I'm gonna assume we're postseason, because that's what we're talking about right now. Let's keep postseason. Once I find sign like that, I'm going to stop and immediately slow down. So I'm very direct with my scouting. I don't grid search unless I need to. You know what I mean? But me, along with most people, I just don't have a ton of time. A lot of times when I'm making these trips, I've got a short amount of time to make these trips, which usually means they're not shed hunting trips because I'm trying to cover as many miles as possible, right? I'm scouting. So that's what I've got a Kentucky trip coming up that I'm only gonna have a couple days at. I've got to collect the intel that I need to collect going into next fall to give me kind of a heads up. So I'm gonna, if I hit an area that's just looks like move through, I'm gonna move through it. And then the moment I start to find sign that is converging, that's heavy, and you've got all the food, the water, the cover, it's getting dense and it looks like there's bed. And then I find a bed, especially once I find a bed, I'm stopping, and I'm gonna spend time there before I go on. And I know we want to talk about dissecting that next week, so I won't get into
Yeah, let's leave them a
it
little bit
now.
of a teaser for next week right there. That's where we're going to pick up, guys. We're probably going to do a lot of this, especially throughout the off season. It's going to be some mini series. We'll maybe do 2 3-parters because we're trying to keep these 20 to 30 minutes. And me and Austin both know once we get on a topic, we could talk for an hour on it pretty easy without realizing it. So we're going to break them up a little more digestible that way. But they'll all stand on their own too. You know, if you need help locating bedding areas, maybe this is one for you. If you want to wait for next week's, that'll be great too. But that's Austin from Tactical Approach Outdoors. You guys need to check his website out. It's tacticalapproachoutdoors.com. All the services that he's got going on out there, especially if you're in like the Kansas City area, Kansas, Missouri, all those throughout there. I know you do a lot of work out there. Our website is Ridge Hunter Outdoors. I'm Canyon. We'll catch you guys next week. All right. You can hit the stop on both of those, Jay.
Cool.